His Master's Voice by Mark Taverner and Steve Punt, starring Robert Hardy, Tony Gardner, Amelia Bullmore and Michael Maloney.
So, this week's issue is the Gordon Brown special.
Well, I think we've got to, really.
No, I'm happy with that. It'll be a hatchet job.
Essentially, yes. We are a Tory magazine, after all.
Boot in, poker up.
Well, I'm anxious to be fair.
Are you?
No, I'm not really. Boot in, poker up.
Right, well, think again.
Pardon?
Think about it, Keith. Gordon Brown is our first Labour Prime Minister since Callaghan.
The second, you mean?
I said the first Labour Prime Minister. You can't count Tony Blair.
Well, that's an exaggeration. Blair, he believed in, well...
Yes?
In the redistribution of wealth.
Yes, to himself. That's why he's retired in plenty of time for a lucrative decade on the lecture circuit. It's the part of him I most admire. He understood the importance of wealth creation.
You mean he didn't tax you?
I pay less tax than I did under the Tories, which is just as well. The price of yacht fuel nowadays, it's a scandal. As I once said to my friends Conrad and Barbara.
So what do you think the angle should be on Brown?
Oh, come, Keith, I'm not one of those magazine proprietors who tells his editors what to write.
Of course not.
I just tell them what not to write. Point is, Keith, Tony Blair disobeyed the number one rule of politics.
Which is?
Don't crep on your own doorstep. Margaret Thatcher never made that mistake. She always kept her own party faithful right behind her.
Yes, it was only everybody else in the country that went off in the other direction.
Blair ignored his party faithful, Keith. On everything lefties hold dear, since 97, membership of the Labour Party has dropped faster than membership of the Michael Barrymore fan club.
Which is good news for us.
Which even better news is that the ones who are left love Gordon Brown. They think he's one of them. They can smell socialism on him. And so can I. He's been keeping it hidden, but you wait. It'll emerge like a red butterfly from a... dull, tartan cocoon.
So you don't want a hatchet job?
No. Haven't you seen the opinion polls? Brown's the best thing that has happened to the Conservative Party in years, which means we should be thinking ahead.
Oh, I think it'll be a disaster.
Well, my local association doesn't like him.
Well, it is a Conservative association.
Yes, but when Tony Blair came along, we thought he was a nice young man. Yes, but
you can't see anybody calling Brown a nice young man, can you? You sort of imagined him popping out of the womb and squeaking. That proves it. Endogenous growth theory.
And I just don't trust a man who can't smile. I mean, have you seen that smile?
It is more of an evil leer, isn't it? He looks like a victim of cyanide poisoning.
Morning.
Morning.
Right, let's get started. The Gordon Brown special issue. Ideas. Giles, what's the word from the louche this week?
I've thought long and hard about this, and the word is Scotland.
And what particular aspect of Scotland are you honing in on?
Its total lack of style.
Giles, I think we ought to be careful with this one.
Certainly. I'm going to say carefully that considering Scotland is a style-free zone, no wonder its most famous son has got a face like a boiled haggis.
I've got friends in Scotland.
So have I. Giles, that's not very louche, is it? It's just abuse. This issue has to be about more than just let's hate Scotland.
But they're allowed to hate England. Half of them want independence.
Well, they left that a bit late. The oil's running out.
Yes, but the water isn't. It's very wet in Scotland, wetter than you ever thought possible, and once global warming really gets going, they've got us over a barrel. They'll be able to charge us more for water than for the whiskey that goes with it. Talking of which... anyone?
It's a bit early for me.
It's a bit early for the bloke on the bench in Soho Square wrapped in newspaper. What are you doing, Giles?
I'm writing a consumer comparison test for one of the Sunday sups. Got to try 25 different whiskies, so I'm trying to space them out a bit.
Good grief.
Anyway, you mark my words. Water. The Scots control the water, and before you know it, you'll be paying Alex Salmond to flush your own bog.
Nightmare.
Charles, I do not want the Gordon Brown issue to be some raving Highland Spring-based conspiracy theory. Anna, restore some sanity to the proceedings, the political commentary.
I thought I might focus on the coronation.
A bit retro, isn't it?
The coronation of Brown. I'm convinced it's an enormous mistake. I mean, in the last 10 years, the Tories have had 4 leadership contests.
Yes, on the if at first you don't succeed, try again principle.
But at least there were contests. There was debate. Rival views expressed, a free and fair vote for the whole party.
In which they freely and fairly made the same mistake 3 times running.
Before finally settling on somebody most of the party don't even like, because they think he's a bit like Tony Blair used to be.
Yes, although if most of his own party don't like him, then he's pretty well exactly like Blair used to be.
My point is, Giles, that voters expect a contest. They don't like having someone foisted on without any opposition. It was a big mistake. It removes the government's sense of legitimacy.
So what are you suggesting?
Stirring. Sounding out a few non-attributable sources to mutter darkly about what might happen if the polls don't improve.
Ah, sowing division, you mean.
Well, that's a polite way of putting it.
And that's not like you at all.
Although, for the sake of balance, I thought I'd argue that at least Gordon Brown has a functioning brain, unlike certain other party leaders I could mention.
Yes, don't make it too harsh. Now, look, if there is one thing that everyone on this magazine should agree on, it's this. A Brown premiership is going to be a disaster, and we are going to unite in saying so. But let's do it without xenophobia and without abuse.
Not just a bit of abuse.
All right, just a bit.
Well, I must say, you do seem a bit down. The food at Westminster's not that bad, is it?
The food's fine, John. It's always nice to eat in the one place that carefully keeps its subsidies from the taxpayer.
Good God, yes. Do you think we're daft? I expected you to be on top of the world. You're a terrific success, Blue Touch.
Am I?
The paper's selling, and you brought it on side. The leader is very pleased. He actually reads it. Quite slowly, but he does, actually. So, what's the problem?
Problem? There's no problem, not for me, anyway.
But Milan?
Milan, well, he supports the leader, sort of, by default, but I get the impression he'd sooner have someone else.
Well, like who?
Well, in all honesty, I think he'd like Margaret Thatcher. Oh. Put in a TARDIS in 1977 and sent 30 years into the future.
Well, he can whistle for that. Maggie took us out of the post-war era and into the late 20th century. But this is the 21st century now, and we're the young generation, and we've got something to say.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys.
You know what's daft, Keith? You shouldn't be running around at the beck and call of a fossil like Milan.
Fossil? Hardly. Did you see the Sunday Times rich list? There's only a software king, a property developer, a duke, and a reality show judge above him, you know. The man's a phenomenon.
But he doesn't get Dave. Milan's a billionaire with houses in 5 countries. He in no way represents our target voter. You, on the other hand, understand her exactly.
Her?
Well, we picture her as a female, but actually sexless. Like Anne Widdecombe.
Well, I'm glad we're getting through. It's not easy. I've got a political commentator who thinks it's still the 1980s.
Ah, yes. Poor dear Anna.
And a lunatic in a green silk jacket with matching bow tie who thinks the Scots nationalists are going to cut our water off.
Nothing lunatic about that, old chap. Sounds quite likely if old Braveheart gets his referendum.
Oh, not you as well.
Point is, Keith, the leader really is very pleased.
Good.
So pleased, in fact, that he wants to offer you a job.
Me?
Dave wants the best and the brightest around him. Especially when it comes to dealing with you media types. Slippery, ruthless and unprincipled, the lot of you.
Takes one to know one, eh? But I've already got a job.
Leave it.
Well, I've only been there 3 weeks.
So what? The entire circulation of Blue Touch wouldn't fill the Home Stand at Fulham. In fact, it would barely fill the House of Lords.
No, although to be fair, the House of Lords barely fills the House of Lords, judging from whenever I've seen it.
We're talking about government here, Keith. Power. The Communications Office. You don't have to come up with sensible policy. We're miles ahead in the polls, and we haven't come up with a sensible policy in 18 months.
And I'd work directly to the man?
Of course. Oh, he sends you his best, by the way. Sorry he couldn't be here, but he got a puncture this morning cycling in from Notting Hill.
Oh, dear.
Yes, and if his assistant hadn't had a repair kit in the Range Rover following him, he'd been stuck even longer. Keith, look at it this way. When we win, and we will, Alistair Campbell's old office. Constant access to the PM.
A decent salary?
The wolf won't be at the door.
It'll be hard going, of course. You know Dave. He's not as nice as he looks. Then, which of us is?
Well, John Prescott must be at least as nice as he looks. He'd be a serial killer otherwise.
So, what have you got?
Well, I've got an economics don questioning whether Gordon was ever such a good chancellor as people make out.
Apart from selling our gold reserves at the bottom of the market, cocking up pensions and letting the Bank of England do the hard bit. You don't need an economics don for that, Keith. My 5-year-old niece could have told you that. She's a very bright girl. Only last week she said to me, "Why is Nanny paid in cash? Is it to do with national insurance?" Chip off the old block, Keith. What else?
Then we've got a professor of Scottish jurisprudence.
You don't see them out and about very often, do you? So, that's how to sell papers. I'll ring my tabloid editors and tell them they're wrong. We don't need tits. We need a professor of Scottish jurisprudence. So what's his game?
He'll present a cool and dispassionate analysis of the case for Scottish independence. Under Gordon, with a Scotland.
Every nerve ending in my body is tossing its caber.
Then, of course, we have to consider the Scottish angle.
Keith, we have readers in Scotland.
Yes, yes. Mr. and Mrs. Jackson of Morningside, I believe. And I'm sure both of them will appreciate our honesty. It's the job of a magazine like this not to flinch or bow to political correctness. If Gordon Brown's Scottishness is an issue for English voters, then we should be brave enough to say so.
Thing is, Keith, it's a sledgehammer to crack a nut. There's no point wasting too much space on Brown because the world and his wife knows it's going to be a disaster. The point is, what about the effect for our side?
What about it?
Don't you think, Keith, that if our lot have got a proper socialist in charge, then we ought to have a proper Tory in charge too?
Ah.
Instead of some chinless tree hugger.
Hmm.
What's the matter, Keith? You've got a cat and tongue scenario?
No. My mind's fully on the job.
That's what I like to hear.
Do excuse me, Lord Milan. Places to go, people to see, trees to hug.
I hope you're joking.
I'm sure you do.
I know I ought to be grateful, but I'm frustrated.
This Glenalchy single malt is really very good.
Of your 25 whiskies have you tried now?
Well, I think it's 13, but to be honest, after the 7th or 8th, I sort of lost count.
And when do you have to write your piece?
As soon as I can feel my fingers again. Do you think our editor realizes the full extent of my talent?
No, I think he realized that the day he met you. Giles, you've got to be thankful. Your column is popular, all right? It's not heavyweight, it's light and humorous.
So I just sit here in my cap and bells?
Look, Giles, you just got to accept the fact some people were born not to be taken seriously.
Oh, I suppose so. Maybe it's just as well. All Giles Brandreth might be Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer by now.
Giles, some people just have it. If you're a man, you've got the looks, the voice, the suit, you can be mentally vacuous.
And still be leader of the Tory party. You are right as ever, Gin.
Oh. Keith has treated you well. You'll be sorry when he goes.
Oh, good grief. What do you mean, when he goes? That's not going to happen any time soon, is it?
It was just a figure of speech.
What are we talking about?
Oh, hello, Keith. Good meeting.
Oh, yes, yes.
Anything interesting?
No, nothing especially. Now, I was thinking we could talk about how Kinnock's Welshness worked against him and then compare how Brown's Scottishness might play with some voters.
You're going with that Scots angle? We've had Scottish PMs in the past, Macdonald, Douglas Hume, even Blair was born in Scotland sometimes. He's a bit of a miracle. A multiple birth on his own.
Yes, yes, but I feel it's different this time.
Keith, I'm a Tory. I don't care where people come from, I care where they're going. Don't you think there are more important things to write about with Brown?
Don't you remember the 80s? People would never admit to voting for us, but they still did. No, this is a kind of between you and me thing. I shouldn't say this, but. And it's real and it exists. So what right do we have to run away from it?
But nobody cares if Min Campbell is Scottish.
Nobody cares about Min Campbell at all. Giles, can I see you in my office in a moment?
Is it about the bottles? Only this is all strictly for research.
Why on earth is he wasting time whittling on about Scottishness? We should be going in hard. That's what Milan will want.
I suspect you're right there.
And that's what I intend to give him. I don't know what Keith was talking about, but he's come back very odd. Anyone would think he wanted this edition to be soft. It's almost like he doesn't care.
Oh, don't be silly, Anna. Why would that be the case?
Exactly. That's just what I'd like to know.
Are you all right, Keith? You seem a bit odd. Spot of the dodgy prawns at Harry Lunchers.
No, no, no. How are you getting on?
Well, I've tasted about 13 of them, and my favourite so far is Glen Athamac, which combines a fresh, toasty bouquet with a vast amount of alcohol.
I'm not bothered about your freelance stuff, Giles. I meant your column.
Ah, now, here's the thing. Done firmly in athletic, old boy.
Is that in code?
It's your man's football club, and this week's column, Dunfermline Athletic from a louche perspective.
It has possibilities?
Hasn't it?
Can't think what they are, but I'm sure there are some. And how are you researching this masterpiece?
Well, that's just it. It would help if I could go there.
Well, the paper's in profit. I think we can afford a train ticket.
And a rather decent hotel.
And a B&B of startlingly bare adequacy.
Oh, dear. You know, the last time I stayed in a B&B, I'd have done better to eat the bed and sleep on the breakfast.
Giles, dearest, today is Tuesday. I need your copy by Thursday. You can drink the rest of your whiskies in the country of their birth.
I obey, Master. I'm on my way to Euston, and I shall not be moved.
I do like this terrace.
We all like this terrace. It's one of the great privileges of Westminster, particularly with the London Eye over there.
A big monument to Blair.
Wrong. A big monument to the private sector. The only Millennium Project that anybody likes, largely because Blair had absolutely nothing to do with it. So, how's this week's magazine?
Well, Friday's issue will be, how should I put it, damning but civilised.
Good, good.
Playing down vulgar, crude allusions to Gordon's background, but fearlessly questioning whether he can unite a nation increasingly divided by region.
Dave has gained his seats in the north, you know.
In Scotland?
I never said he was a miracle worker.
This could be the last issue I ever edit.
Ah, so I can take a yes back to the leader?
Well, you can take a very nearly yes.
I don't think I'd hang about, Keith. He doesn't like being messed about.
No, I appreciate that.
Mind you, when he said that to his council planning committee, they kept him waiting ages over his windmill. All right, here's the deal. You do your Gordon special for Friday, but by Friday night, we want an answer. Fair enough?
Yes, completely fair. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'd better go and do some editing. This is my last issue. I want to give it some style.
So are we letting Gordon quietly dig his own grave?
I think so. We're covering the Scottishness angle.
I see, Keith. You know, we're here to report. We're not here to suppress opinion because it's inconvenient. You used to work for The Guardian. Did they suppress opinions they didn't like?
Oh, yes, frequently.
Well, there you are. You see my point exactly. Keith, since you became editor, it is fair to say you've found a new type of reader for Blue Touch.
That's why I'm here.
And we've done our research. We've got the profile. Our new reader is youngish, 35 to 45, affluent, successful but caring, civilised and humane.
That sounds about right.
The sort of person who wants to be told it's perfectly all right to be rich with a big car, a big house and a fat ass. You can still be deeply, deeply caring and a warm and wonderful human being. The sort of mincing hypocrite who is desperate to buy this view of the world has started buying Blue Touch as his magazine of choice.
Exactly.
And that's down to you, and I don't deny it. But this is my point, this anti-Scottish stuff. It doesn't fit the profile. The English are a gentle, tolerant people. They don't care if a politician's Scottish.
If the English are so tolerant and gentle, who buys your tabloid papers?
Now, don't get tricky with me, Keith. Just remember, you're there to shift papers, so don't alienate the profile.
I'll try not to.
Good. Remember who you work for.
Oh, I do, Lord Milan, I do.
Blue Touch?
Katrina, light in the dark, voice of salvation.
Giles, dearest, where are you?
Dunfermline. I've watched a football match in a temperature of minus a million.
Oh. Oh, dear Giles, who won?
I couldn't see through the fog. Then my eyelids froze over. I have eaten pie and beans. beans. Pie and beans, me!
Oh, how too vulgar for you.
If it hadn't been for whiskies number 17 to 21, I would have thrown to death. Darling, before I head gratefully for the railway pointed south, there is one thing you should pass on to our Supreme Leader about the people of Dunfermline.
And what's that, my brave soldier?
They can't stand Gordon either.
I always find our chats valuable, Anna, even if we are from different wings of the party.
Different wings? I think possibly different birds.
I have to say that some of your friends within the parliamentary party would be unwise to expect early promotion once we're in office. Put it that way.
Some people put their principles before promotion.
True, although sadly you didn't get that chance yourself. Keith's appointment must really have been a shock, especially given your relationship with his lordship.
Ancient history, John.
History may be, but distinctly modern, from what I've heard.
I mean all that stuff about editorship.
So you don't want the job anymore?
Are you going to give me something useful? Only when I buy drinks for an MP, he's meant to sing for his supper.
No, I'm being serious. You wouldn't apply even if there were a sudden vacancy.
There isn't going to be a sudden vacancy, is there?
Speaking hypothetically.
Yes.
Our leader is a big fan of your editor, you know. Really? Big fan. I mean, Blue Touch has become a sort of fashion accessory for our sort of people. It flatters them by making them feel intelligent and enlightened. Whatever the sad reality.
And this is Keith's achievement, is it?
Well, looking at the circulation figures, yes. A chap like that's going to get noticed. Going to get offered the chance to move on to bigger things, thereby creating a vacancy.
I see. A number of things are starting to make sense.
Provided, of course, nothing happens to upset the leader, and, of course, your esteemed owner.
Believe me, John, I have a lot more in common with Milan than Keith has.
How are you, Giles?
I'm wet. I'm wetter than I ever have been. Scotland is wetter than the Lake District. No, scratch that, it's wetter than the Amazon. It's wetter than centre court at Wimbledon midway through a semi-final. You wouldn't have thought it possible.
And how were the good people of Dunfermline?
Oh, the good people of Dunfermline were perfectly charming. The first one I met asked me if I were wearing this suit for a bet. The second asked me what I thought I was getting when they sold me this tie. But no, they were delightful.
Good.
I wrote my piece on the sleeper, so it's ready.
You didn't sleep then?
No. No, they had a rather splendid lounge car, and I used the time to finish with my whiskey-tasting marathon. And in no time at all, several very public-spirited Scottish chaps had offered to help me.
How very noble of them.
Yes, very jolly old boys they were. And one of them, it turned out, was the Member of Parliament for Cairngorm South or somewhere. And do you know, Keith, after a generous tot or two, he told me a frightfully interesting rumour that's going round about you and Anna.
Really? What did you hear?
Just rumours.
Rumours of what?
That you may be abandoning us for pastures new.
The leader has offered me a job. Sorry, I haven't told you, but then I haven't told anybody.
Not at all. Such things are private. However, you should be aware that Anna's got a sniff too.
How?
Don't know, but apparently she's been putting the word around she might soon be moving up a place.
I see.
And have you read her copy? Blimey. Talk about sticking the boot in.
Let's have a look.
Basically, it's a demand for a general election on the grounds that Labour have staged a coup d'etat and a character assassination of Brown on every level.
Is it now? Well, well, well. Katrina, come through, can you?
Aren't you going to tone it down a bit? It's almost libelous. Mind you, those are the best bits.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it'll have its desired effect as it is. Katrina, put this straight in. Don't change a word. Then why don't you take Giles and warm him up?
Oh, pleasure.
Dear lady, warm my cockles. You're looking for my muscles is futile.
Keith, I know I said you could have till Friday, and I'm sticking to that.
Yes.
But Dave is a man who likes to get on with things. He'd be delighted if you could take a look at a speech he's giving ASAP.
Well, in principle, that's fine.
He wants a hymn of praise to Tony Blair.
He wants what?
Because it'll rile Gordon. Well, that's part of the reason. The other is, well, Dave's quite a fan of TB.
One of his few failings. John, I really think you should be distancing yourself from Blair.
Why?
Well, when you get in government, are you proposing to lie, spin and manipulate?
Obviously. Is there any other way?
The loser even the Scots can't stand?
Something wrong?
Keith, did I or did I not specifically ask you not to do a hatchet job?
This is the work of an experienced political correspondent.
And the stuff about Dunfermline?
Is the work of a whiskey-sozzled fop, but we discount that.
Now, look here. I told you not to waste time attacking Brown. I told you we all know he's a loser. What we should be doing is saying we're going to win the next election, so let's get a genuine Tory in charge.
I know.
Not a bike-riding, floppy-haired recycler from Eton.
I know that.
So why did you do it?
Because the floppy-haired recycler has just offered me a job.
Say that again.
I've been headhunted by the party, who appreciate what I do.
And what do you do?
Raise sales of this magazine.
Well, not this time. I thought you people wanted to get away from being the nasty party.
I didn't write it, Lord Milan. Anna did, who I assume will be taking over as editor.
Over my dead body.
Oh, that's a pity. I thought I'd let her show you what she's capable of.
Keith, have you accepted this new job yet?
Well, now, why would you want to know that?
For you, Lord Milan. Line two.
Hello? Yes. Right. Right, I see. Well, that was the circulation department. Apparently this week's edition is selling even faster than last week's.
I thought it might.
Oh, you did you?
Yes, we've got our new younger readers on board now, but running Anna's piece has brought back the old guard too, the party faithful, which is why I let it run.
You haven't answered my question. Have you accepted this new job yet?
No. I'm a journalist. I don't want to jump to the other side of the fence just yet. It's just this salary they're offering.
I'll match it.
Really? Well, no, that would mean paying me nearly double what you do now.
I said I'll match it. You believe in the free market?
Yes.
Good, because you've just benefited from it. Get back to the office and tell them to get on with next week's paper.
Yes, Lord Milan.
And buy Enna a drink.
I've done better than that. Charles has got her a job comparing 25 Chardonnays for a Sunday supplement.
You've been listening to His Master's Voice by Mark Taverner and Steve Punt, with Robert Hardy, Tony Gardner, Amelia Bullmore, Michael Maloney, Rachel Atkins and Stephen Critchlow. The producer was Dawn Ellis.